God damn it, I wish we'd watch this fucking movie together. Then I wouldn't have had to watch it alone.
There's no possible way it was better.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we watched the 2014 version of Left Behind. And shit, it is fucking terrible. Ugh.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-host, Tim Wick.
Hello.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And once again, we have subjected ourselves to something terrible. Ugh. So that none of you have to.
Oh my God.
We saw the 2014 adaptation of Left Behind starring Nicolas Cage.
It was, you guys, you guys, don't see this. I don't mean like, don't see it like, oh, the message is boring or whatever. I mean, the first one, see the first one, it's hilarious. Yeah. This is terrible.
Yeah, the first one has like funny. A B-movie aspect to it.
Yeah.
There's no Antichrist in this one.
Yeah, they hang off on the Antichrist. They want to bring that into a later movie.
Ugh.
So instead, you get about, well, what is it?
A plane drama.
Yeah, it's an hour and 11 minutes of Nicolas Cage.
No, it's 111
sorry,
minutes.
Sorry, we have 111 minutes of Nicolas Cage looking vaguely concerned that his plane might crash.
That plane crashed in real time, I swear to God. Like, it was like the 45 minutes that it took them to run out of fuel and eventually land.
Yeah, that six-hour flight felt like a six-hour movie.
Felt like
So I have notes again.
You have notes.
I have notes again.
I also have notes.
I don't have notes because
four and a half pages into notes, I all of a sudden realized, oh shit, yeah, I forgot they go full Antichrist in this movie. I'm a lot more excited than I was before. You said Antichrist to Nick, and then there was no Antichrist. So at the my very last note is, oh, what? No Antichrist at all? Fuck this movie.
I know.
Boo.
You actually drew a picture of your, like, a devilish version of Molly.
I did draw a picture of me,
like,
as a devil.
With devil horns and
all
tail. Like,
for the Antichrist.
Molly's the Antichrist.
So I thought it was funny, the very first shot of the movie, the very first, like, opening credits thing, they show Virgin Airlines plane. And it's just like the big fin of the tail. It just says, Left Behind, Virgin.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know it's dumb, but it made me laugh.
Yeah.
Every actor, by the way, is why I wrote a PS right at the beginning. Every actor I see is now unclean, like forever unclean, as in like, oh yeah, Lea Michele, it's too bad about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nick Cage, oh yeah, it's
well, Lea Thompson, not Lea Michele.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Lea Thompson, you're right. Lea Michele was in Glee.
Yeah,
I mean
Lea Thompson.
For Lea Thompson, you got it. When this movie is a significant step down from Howard the Duck.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
you've got to be pretty embarrassed.
Yeah,
it's oh man. So, the first like 10 minutes of the movie, there's actually some pretty fun arguments.
Everyone, all the opinions being expressed were reasonable because all those people got left behind.
Right,
so everything everyone was saying made sense.
So the Captain Flight Plan's daughter is Blondie Flight Plan.
Yeah,
is you know, like flirting with Buck journalist in the
His
airport.
His name is really Buck.
It's
Buck, and I think his actual first name is Cameron. Like, Buck's his nickname. I put that down somewhere.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's Cameron,
like, is his name
Buck.
Is his name Buck Cameron? At one point, it's Cameron Buck.
Yeah.
Like, something.
She gets harassed by some, you know, wacko lady, Christian.
Oh, yeah. Have you read your Bible?
And the Blondie Flight Plan comes to, like, save his day and you know, argue some fairly rational but like angry atheist.
Yeah, because that's what
arguments.
Atheists do all the time. It's like if we're in the airport and somebody says, "Have you read your Bible?" We pretty much all just
jump in.
Because,
yeah, from across
because we persecute Christians. I mean, that's what we do.
That's what I
yeah.
do.
Well, that's kind of what they depicted in the movie a little bit.
Yeah.
They certainly make her out to be an angry at God atheist.
Yeah.
Kind
oh yeah.
Of, kind
she,
of
yeah.
Person.
She's got the whole. How can they let all these things happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and hey Tim, you know how I know that all of the music they used in the movie was from Christian bands.
No, how do you know that?
It was terrible.
I just have the note after two pages. Anytime they want to get to the rapturing, that would be great.
Yeah, it's like...
Because it was a lot of not
It was
rapture.
Like an hour in.
The
like,
first 30 minutes
time.
Of the movie is just people sitting in an airport talking.
Yeah.
It is.
It's yeah.
Like, how do you make a movie like that and go, wow, people are really going to be... They're going to be into this. They're going to... This is going to make these...
I didn't know they were jumping straight to hell.
Yeah.
Waiting in an airport is hell. Watching it as a movie is even worse.
Yeah, and you got to be careful because there's people on drug trips on that airplane. Like, there's that woman who was having a bad drug trip.
She was.
She even said it in the mirror. She's like, it's just a bad trip, and you've had this before.
And then she wrote, it's not real on her hand in lipstick.
Yeah.
So I just like to point out that the Bible doesn't say anything about not doing drugs. So I don't know why the drug addict didn't get raptured up.
She should have gotten raptured. The other thing I noticed in this movie is... you know, kids, they get raptured automatically, whether or not they believe in God. And I was wondering, like, what's the cutoff?
They showed the nursery at the hospital, right? Uh-huh. And I go, oh, my God, how funny would it be if there was, like, one baby left?
when Blondie Flight Plan is going home to find her mom or look for her raptured brother, there's like a car accident and a school bus, like a short bus, just flying off the edge and crashes. And she kind of looks and there's no one in it. But like Molly and I can't remember which one of us turned to the other and said, oh, no, a bus full of Muslim children. Like, get a Christian bus driver. No.
All I could think while I was watching.
But no, empty bus.
All I could think about that empty bus, though, is that empty bus goes crashing off the side of the bridge like an hour after the rapture happened.
Yeah.
Has that thing been coasting for a fucking hour?
Yeah, she's walking around like she's got to get from point A to point B. Traffic's bad. They clearly show everything's a disaster. And yet everywhere she goes, people are still staring into like empty baby carriages and stuff like that. It's like, bitch, stop walking around. You're taking the rapture with you. Everyone within 50 like feet of you is like recently
3 hours later, everybody is still shocked like it just happened.
Also, how does no one know what the fuck the rapture is?
How is no one guessing rapture? This is a movie set in 2014. We all lived through 2012 where the rapture was on, like, discussed on the news. How is not a single person, even as a joke, going, I mean, is it the rapture, right? Is it the rapture? Like, there's clothes on the ground.
At this point, I just
like
to take a moment.
And Blondie Flight Plan is angry at her mom for constantly talking about the rapture.
Right, right.
And she still doesn't know.
When it happens, she's like, what the fuck is this?
It takes Nick Cage 45 minutes to put it together. Like Captain Flight Plan, even though his wife's always her talking about the rapture is why he's about to cheat on her, and yet he still doesn't put it together
that it's the rapture.
Jesus Christ, he deserves her. He's so stupid.
Yeah,
I want to point out that we didn't pay money to see this movie.
No,
we didn't support this movie financially in any way, shape, or form. We didn't even buy a used copy, which is, I think, was what we did with the last.
Yeah, that's
one.
What we did with the last one. So
terrible.
Piracy is bad, but I think if you want to watch this film, please pirate it.
I'm not saying we pirated it. I'm just saying we didn't pay to watch it.
So I will say, so just while we're touching on, before we get into like actual like implications of the actual message, more funny things. The dumb, gossipy slut flight attendant who comes up to the Captain Flight Plan in the cockpit and he's like, did you get the head count? And she says, I tried. I would like to point out that is not an acceptable answer for numerically based data.
There's a very finite amount of space in that airplane, and no one can go anywhere.
You tried? How hard? Count
the number
the
of empty clothing, and you should have it figured out.
You have an accurate flight. I mean, she has documentation with people's names and seats and
There's
stuff.
There's human beings you can count. What he wanted was how many people are on the plane right now? Count them. Make them count themselves by counting off.
Whatever you got to do. And you should be able to make it work.
I tried.
We were calling Blondie Flight Plan. We were calling her a cheap Sookie Stackhouse knockoff.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of the same.
She had the pursing lips all the time.
Something I noticed even the bad people that are left, like the angry people, the short guy, the little person.
Oh yeah,
gentleman.
The
vaguely theist mini guy is what.
Right.
The thing about him is it's like all his entire character is just, I resent being a little person.
That is it.
It's his whole deal.
His character is a chip on the shoulder.
If you were that actor, you'd be like, well, wouldn't you be like, well, it's work.
Yeah, kind of.
Because if I read that script, I'd be like, wow, this is really fucking
insulting. That guy was dressed exactly like Vern Troyer during the Hard Knock Life bit of Austin Powers Gold Member.
Yeah, that's true, he was. He just needed to button the top button of his shirt.
And
so he's, you know, a gambler using inside information, and he's a kind of an asshole to everyone and whatever. And yet when things go wrong, he says, "Jeez Louise!" Because it's a Christian movie. That even the bad people don't swear. The looter that gets shot with a shotgun is wearing a mask, and he's pretty well covered, so you don't see any blood.
He basically goes like, "Boy!" Like when he gets
dang it!
Oh no!
The violence, all you know, the looting violence and stuff, kind of occurs off screen. Even looting, some of the destruction and
the
stuff.
The looting violence was just fires and people grabbing TVs, and you could hear some.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the rapture looting.
I thought it was the strangest thing in the world. It's like, all these people disappear from a mall, and everybody who's left freaks out for a little bit and then steals shit. That's what they do. They even though, you know, you have to assume a lot of the proprietors of the stores are still there, but it's like, no. Yeah.
That was a Christian mall.
You guys, the rapture happened. Let's steal shit. Although they don't notice the rapture because none of them have apparently paid any attention.
No one knows what the rapture is.
I have a quote from Nick, which is, that dog's a Satanist.
There's a dog sitting there with his leash leading to a pile of clothes.
Yeah. There was that exact same shot, if you remember.
But again, this is when Sookie Stackhouse Knockoff is walking through the neighborhood like an hour and a half after the rapture's gone. It's like, that dog would have left by now. Yeah. It wasn't going to like sit there and wait for...
Well, no, sometimes they do.
It's not like the owner said stay before he raptured.
No, sometimes they just stay, though. There's dogs that sleep on top of like owners' graves and stuff.
Like the saddest episode of Futurama ever.
Or like a lot of military stuff. I will say, the target audience of this movie was...
That was a dumbass black lab.
Let's stop talking about dead dogs. So the target audience of this movie is smug mothers of rebellious young adults, I think. Because at the end, she was like, "Mom, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you more."
The whole moral of the movie is, she told me so.
I shouldn't have cut my hair or pierced my ears for not listening to Jesus.
Both Nick Cage and Captain Flight Plan and Blondie Flight Plan. That's their thing. The thing I noticed when I was talking about the kids is, you know, okay, so we don't know what the cutoff date is for kids being raptured. The kids are gone, but we don't know if it's like 12 or 12 and a half.
That's
true. Is there a specific day if you're a day older than that?
I didn't see any kids. I didn't even see teenagers.
No teenagers.
And the other thing is...
Her brother's like 12-ish.
The other thing is, on the plane, there's like an old dude and his wife with Alzheimer's.
Yeah!
And you're like, if you've got Alzheimer's and you forget about Jesus Christ, do you not get raptured?
What I wrote was, whoa, what did that super old lady get up to without her husband that he's gone and she's not?
I know. She must have
done something. Like,
but she could barely... She was clearly like in early stages
of
dementia.
She was a Nazi.
I was a Nazi prostitute.
Yeah. Nazi prostitute. Nazi wasn't enough.
Nostitute.
She also has to...
What? And like every
Wait, was
single...
that a prostitute for Nazis?
Like no, like she was a Nazi who was also a prostitute.
Did
you guys see any places on the plane where like a couple was raptured together, or couples always split up?
It's hard to tell because if there were two missing people, I didn't necessarily notice. You know, because there are lots of empty seats.
They only showed us coach like two or three times.
Yeah.
They really focused on first class for the majority of the
movie.
There's
your message, people.
And
focus on first class.
And so it's hard to say because there weren't really any couples except for the old couple in first class. There's the presumably Muslim dude and the person he's with. Then there's the old couple, the little guy, and then the NFL wife and her daughter. NFL wife who goes fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And then the Sky
Jordan
Marshall.
Sparks. That's Jordan Sparks, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
Jordan Sparks is the crazy NFL mom.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. I have a note that says, if Christians really believed in the rapture, they'd only let atheists be pilots. Or adulterers, I guess.
Yeah.
Because why would they want anyone who's devout to be a pilot if they could be raptured at any time?
I know. It's just not safe. The skies are not safe.
So I don't think they believe in it because they're not passing laws.
But they're going
to
be raptured, so it doesn't matter.
So at one point they were like, at one point really early on, the captain flight plan and his little slut flight attendant were like, She said something like, "Did you get the food?" And he was like, "I got the." Oh no, it was the. It's the journalist, the investigative journalist, is like.
Oh yeah.
He's like, "What if I get you a coffee, like, and one of those boxes of strawberry jam?" To which we're both like, "The fuck is a box of straw? How is that? How is that?"
Yeah, I don't know why that was.
So
a
Nick
thing.
Said, "Box of strawberry jam, my dick down your throat." We need to pause it because I'm laughing too hard.
If you're going to watch the 2014 Left Behind, here's a drinking game rule I would propose. Every time Buck says, investigative journalist, take a shot. Because
oh
it's
God.
At least eight times.
You will be dead.
It's a lot.
He's constantly reminding people, not just that he's a journalist, but that he's an investigative journalist. Yeah. You can tell because he's got his camera with him or... something.
See, yeah. Here to me is, this movie has literally, it's 111 minutes long because it has absolutely no sense of urgency at all. And my the best example of that is when Blondie Flight Plan at the end of the movie is supposed to clear a runway for her dad so he can crash land in New York.
25 minutes later.
And there's this long road that she's supposed to clear of an insane number of orange traffic cones.
Yeah, because a plane might get knocked over by cones. Yeah. It could
so she's,
just obliterate
she's driving
them.
This pickup truck to clear these cones, and the way they do the camera work, you can tell she's not going more than like 5 miles an hour. She's just kind of shoving these things.
And he needs 0.9 or preferably a full mile for the runway because he doesn't have altitude control. So she's driving 5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So it's going to take her at least 20, 25 minutes to clear that runway for him.
It's the entire movie is like that. You know, there's never a point where anybody really seems all that concerned with what's going on.
I will say that Captain Flightplan landed a plane and saved a whole bunch of human actual lives, but yet he's the bad guy because...
he doesn't
adultery.
Believe in Jesus Christ. Well,
he also did the worst thing that adulterers do, which is where they say, "Look, man, your mom didn't make it easy on me. Like that's why it's pretty much your mom's fault that I cheated.
Your mom left me for Jesus before
fair, not... Jesus is hung like this.
Yeah.
You know,
to be fair, Nick did not actually do the hand gesture.
I didn't do the hand gesture. I folded my arms in protest. But you know that's kind of an interesting point though, Molly, and I think it ties to Buck, investigative journalist,
the lumberjack model.
He is depicted throughout the entire movie from beginning to end as he is like a hero guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who's always there to calm the person. He talks down the woman with the gun.
Yep.
He saves the day over and over and over and steps up to every single challenge presented to him. He is a good person in this movie. And they show it repeatedly that every chance they get to emphasize that he's a good guy, he even gets the girl. But the thing is, he didn't believe in God, therefore
he doesn't get the ultimate reward.
It doesn't matter how good of a person he was
because of original sin. Because we're all sinners, and there's no, and you know, it's all the good deeds can't ever save you. It's only belief in Jesus Christ. And the thing is when Blondie Flight Plan at the beginning of the movie is like challenging the Christian, and what's amazing to me is, I mean, this movie's produced by a Christian director. He's the same dude who directed the first fucking Left Behind movie. So all he does is make fucking Left Behind movies as far as I can tell. And he's like presenting this atheist as if she's all her arguments are all terrible. And it's like, but she's really asking very reasonable questions, and the answers aren't very good.
They never say she's an atheist, I will say. She even says, in fact, I think she's a Christian, because at the very beginning she says something like, but God loves all of us. Like, she, like, says something that's just a little less psycho-Christian.
Yeah.
That's just a little less intense. I don't think she's an atheist at all. I think she just doesn't believe as fervently, and that's always Kirk Cameron's MO, is you think you're a Christian, but you're not a Christian. You're not an actual Christian because you're not doing the right things that you need to do to make sure. And that's one of the things that he always pushes in his shit. So it wouldn't surprise me if a movie he helped produce is, like, pushing that message as well.
I don't know if he helped produce this one or not.
I will also say that I found it...
Kirk Cameron. I don't think
he's attached.
I also find it interesting that no matter how much that mom beseeched her God, the God would not spare her daughter or husband. They found her prayer list.
Yeah.
The names of the people she'd been praying for every night in the bookmark in the Bible. And her daughter, who clearly didn't do anything wrong except for maybe not being super
faithful. She was a rebellious teenager.
It doesn't look like she even did. I mean, you know, the husband, whatever, he, Captain Flyplan, he's an adulterer. That's fine, whatever. That's
totally he's not a
good guy. He's not a good guy. But the daughter doesn't seem to have done anything except for the whole, like, maybe she wasn't as fervent as the mom, and yet the mom praying and praying and praying to God for her soul does nothing.
Yeah.
I think that is a message that I don't think they intended to have be in the movie.
So,
that doesn't matter how much you pray.
Lalonde has said that there are going to be two sequels planned, and they have Thompson, Murray, and Whalen all signed to reprise their roles. No mention of Nick Cage.
Really?
But, well. And I mean, he's...
Well, doesn't Captain Flightplan character, isn't that, doesn't he die?
No.
I know he's at least in the previous Left Behind movie.
He's one of the main characters. I was looking up the Left Behind
Well, him and Buck, and for some reason, what's her name, the flight attendant becomes, you know, flight attendant, that's...
That's right, she's the one that
goes in the UN.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron, or the journalist character, gets her a job at the UN because he can just do that, and he can just turn a flight attendant into the UN.
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah. Poof, she's like a UN attaché.
To be next to the Antichrist and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nikolai Karpov.
Yeah, but that's in a different movie, and I don't understand why Nick Cage made this movie. It must be just because he can't say no to anything. Because Cage is not, as far as I know, I was doing some research to see if there was any information about it. He's not a born-again Christian. The interviews he did about the film, he doesn't talk about it being... He talks about doing it for his brother, who's a minister.
So, do you know about his weirdo ghostwriter stuff?
Which weirdo ghostwriter stuff?
So, for ghostwriter... the second one, I think, he went out and spent a couple $100,000 on some various artifacts, including some like Egyptian artifacts. And whenever he was on set, he would have them in his pockets of his costumes, like close to his body, so that just to give him a feel of like spiritual empowerment.
Sure.
For being Ghost Rider, you know, like he's a mystic character. So, he's a magic character in Marvel's universe. So so Nick Cage is, he might not be Christian, but he's certainly like a mysticism-y guy.
Yeah.
And it might be just a bunch of like kind of woo, but he's clearly open to ideas of magic and stuff. Yeah. At least in terms of, like, method acting.
Yeah, so let's talk about the asshole god for a minute. The idea, because, like, there's a plane in this film that we see where both of the pilots are raptured.
Yeah, and the plane's, the protagonist plane.
The plane's on autopilot. Everybody in the plane is going to die.
Yes.
They aren't going to die with... They aren't going to have time to know that this is the rapture and make peace with God or anything like that.
Not that they'd
like
be able
that.
To figure it out anyway, because no one else did.
Right. Yeah, because, yeah, they're just all... Everybody... Clearly, maybe what happens in the rapture is any knowledge of the rapture is erased from your brain.
It's raptured up.
It's raptured up. So,
it's like in Men in Black.
Yeah. So, he, you know,
another fine
God,
Christian film.
God raptures these two people and kills everybody on this plane. Doesn't give a fuck. I mean, doesn't give... God doesn't give a fuck. The pastor in the film talks about how he saved these people from the horrors that are to come.
Right.
And everybody else, it's like... Fuck you, you didn't figure it out in time.
He's condemning them to what's to come.
To eternal torture.
Yep.
Right. So everyone who died on a... So let's say there's a plane full of like 100 people that could turn it around.
Yep.
When the end times come, they could... They're salvageable souls, let's say, right? But both their pilots are raptured up.
So bummer.
And so everyone on the plane dies as rapture casualties.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should have been. They should have gone to church more.
That's forgiving. That's
how they feel.
That's loving.
Yeah. And
are we under the supposition that this is a loving God? Because it's not.
And then there's, you know, parents who lose their children.
Yeah.
It's just And of course, the world goes to fucking hell in a handbasket, which is, you know, it's like, yes, God is saving these people from this, but at the same time, God could just stop the world from going to hell in a handbasket, except right. free will, whatever, bullshit. If there's really free will, why is God rapturing people?
There's if there's really free will, then he's not omnipotent.
Now what I want to see is, like, a series of shorts, like, just, like, 20, 30-second short comedy sketches of, like, the most awkward scenes from the rapture, like America's Funniest Home Videos, maybe, but like awkward rapture moments. Like, there's a set of triplets being baptized, and the first two get baptized, and the second and the third one, like, just is about to get dipped, and then the rapture happens, and he's just like, "Oh man, my two brothers are raptured, and not me.
And I gotta do
missed it by seconds, just under the buzzer.
I gotta do the whole 1,000 years of whatever the hell the Revelation says thing. It's like, just like
a sports game where like half of one team is raptured, and so like, you know, they have to finish the game anyway, and you know, the underdog team beats the rich kids, you know, private school team. Yay. It's like Teen Wolf, but you know, Rapture is on the enemy team, and they win. That's how they win, not because of a werewolf powers.
Yeah, that'd be great. You got a rusher running straight at the defense. They're going to tackle him, and then all of a sudden, Rapture.
Yeah, he scores
a touchdown because there's nobody in his way.
Yeah, imagine all like the swing dancing class where like half the people get raptured. How many people get dropped to the swing and stuff like that? Like that's what I want to see is. Yeah. The lighter side of the rapture.
The little guy in the movie, like I said, there's no respect for him at all.
None.
You know, all he is a bitchy dude who's upset about the fact that he's got dwarfism. And he probably hates
God for what God did to him, and that's why he didn't get raptured. Sure. I mean, I get that feeling.
And I just kind of feel like, are there any people with dwarfism that are like that by that point? I mean, maybe.
There's always people like that. Sure. There's always people that are assholes about everything. Like,
look at any group of people large enough and you'll find assholes.
I mean, I went to college with a girl who was very, very little. I don't know if she had dwarfism or she described herself as a pygmy, but she was a black lesbian, wheelchair bound, and very angry at all the things all the time. She was 19. You know, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, she was just, and I remember that was one of the first times I ever had the conversation of, it's not that I don't like you because of your, you know, fill in the blank reasons. It's because you're kind of an awful person. Like, I don't dislike you because you're in a wheelchair. I don't dislike you because you're black. I dislike you because you're awful. You're just awful to be around.
So before we get to five questions, I have a theory.
All right.
Okay.
About the rapture now. So right before that, the flight plan junior gets raptured away when he's with his sister at like the mall, the Christian mall.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Hey, can we go to GameStop later? They're having an 80% off sale." Now, does that or does that not say to you that GameStop knows that the rapture is going to come?
I mean, 80%
that's their going out of business rapture sale.
Holy, there's no way they ever have 80% off.
So GameStop would never have an 80% off sale.
Not a store-wide sale.
What you're saying is if GameStop ever has an 80% off sale,
you know the rapture's like the next day.
Yeah, don't go drive. Stay walking, be on the sidewalks.
That's
that's the other thing God does is if you know, somebody's like driving a car, you know, and they get raptured, that car is going to keep going.
Nobody cares about Earth after the rapture, Tim. God certainly doesn't. He's got all the good tools.
Not that God
up in
cares
heaven.
About Earth much before the rapture, either.
Yeah, he's got his. He's good. He doesn't care about the rest of us. Never if happens. We live through the apocalypse, maybe.
It's blackmail, you know. And, you know, show us a little respect, or maybe something bad would happen when the rapture occurs.
But the biggest crime of this film is it is fucking boring as fuck.
It's really boring.
It's a genuinely boring movie.
I would go watch the Kirk Cameron one again. I would play Left Behind the board game
again. Okay, let's not get crazy.
That game was less boring than this, because at least there were the Bible trivia cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And there was the awesome dice... spelled out Carpathia.
Carpathia dice.
Yeah. Carpat and
Tia. Carpathia.
Yeah.
So, Molly, who do we have five answers from
today? We have five answers from Scooter, That's his Ren name. His birth name is Michael, and he's from Connecticut.
Hey,
Connecticut. Sure. Another state heard from. I don't think we've had a Connecticut answer.
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
All right. Question number one. What is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
I know that voice, as I am a huge animation fan.
Okay. Oh. I don't even know that movie.
What's her name is in it? Bubbles and... Teen Titans and
Tara Strong.
Yeah,
Tara
Strong. I think she's in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Cool. I can't talk about that movie at all.
She's amazing.
Because I have not heard of it.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll have to go.
My bad for not doing the research.
Question number two: who is your favorite atheist character?
I will have to say Ted Knight, as I love the whole '90s run of Starman.
Ooh.
'90s run of Starman is one of the greatest runs of comics ever written.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he's an atheist?
I don't remember, but okay, so...
I mean, I'm going to trust Scooter.
So it wasn't
Scooter
that good.
Scooter obviously knows.
There's like the original, like, Golden or Silver Age Starman dude who's like whatever. He's a Superman or... It's not important. But then his son picks up his, like, cosmic rod and ends up being the next Starman. And he's kind of rebellious. He's got his, you know, like, jean jacket with buttons and stuff.
Whoa.
And whatever.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's pretty rebellious.
And it's amazing comic book series. One of the best characters in the series is Solomon Grundy.
Mm.
And they explain the Solomon Grundy life cycle. And like, he ends up, like, dying as a smarter type guy. I think it is actually. And saving a whole bunch of people, knowing that he's going to be reborn again on a Monday as something bad, as someone bad, as a bad Grundy. And so it's a very, very sad, heartfelt moment. It's an amazing, it's all collected. I think you can get it in omnibuses.
Omnibuses.
So Ted Knight, is that like the Starman character?
Yeah, he is the protagonist. There are several other Starmen. One of which is an alien who has a name that's pronounced like something that sounds English. Like, his name is Starman or something, like, a little cheesy, but, like, it's comics, you know? Get over it.
Yeah.
The Shade is in that shit. The serial killer villain with, like, darkness demon powers.
Cool.
Who, in Starman, is not a villain because he doesn't shit where he lives. And so he actually enables the hero to save their city several times over because, no, not Star City. I like this place. I live here. I go murder people elsewhere, but here, this is my place.
He doesn't shit where he eats.
Yeah, it's great.
Huh. Interesting. All right, question number three. What is your geekiest hobby?
Normally, I would say working at a Ren fair and doing stage combat there. Man. But among my Ren friends, I would have to say it's my near encyclopedic knowledge of the Disney Company. Nope. Whether it's the theme parks, their business history, or animated movies.
I know the Disney Company pretty well.
I would like to see Tim and Scooter go toe-to-toe on a near Disney encyclopedic off.
Disney off.
A Disney off, which for once isn't about murdering the most Jews.
I think a Disney off is when you... We'll go with
murdering.
We'll go with
something anti-Semitic. We'll go with Jew murdering.
Because it's always funny, right?
Well, I mean, there's a lot about the... Do you know about, like, the cats, the stray cats of Disneyland and all that stuff?
Maybe not. Yeah, I mean, I know something about it, and I'm not as versed as I
want
to.
I'm sure there's, like, tons of cool
Oh, there's
facts.
Tons of cool fucking stuff that goes on at the Disney theme park. So, even if I didn't know it, Pat probably knows it.
Sure.
So, but in our family, we know a ton of Disney.
Your powers combined.
Yes.
You're Captain Disney.
We are Zan and Jaina of Disney.
Okay. Question number four. What is your favorite sandwich?
I warn you that a sandwich is by far my favorite food, and this was a very difficult question for me.
Dun, dun, dun.
I considered the Disneyland Monte Cristo, and also a New York City Reuben, but by far, I have to say, it's Thanksgiving on a roll. Turkey stuffing, mayo, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, and turnips with some dipping gravy all piled onto whatever roll is available.
Holy crap.
I prefer it made with as many leftovers as possible, including leftover Thanksgiving rolls.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking awesome.
Because Thanksgiving food is the best food.
It sounds like you couldn't actually hold it.
Challenge accepted.
It would be a messy fucking meal. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying it would be a messy fucking meal.
That sounds amazing.
Question number five. What's the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
Honestly, it's not what people say. as they expect the ultra-religious to say something stupid. I usually have bigger issues with the holiday religious worshipers, like Christmas, Easter Christians, that feel they need to say things to me about being an atheist.
Okay. I don't have a good example there, but that's all right. No,
that makes sense. I get that.
Yeah.
Like, it's most annoying because they're barely their thing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah.
They get high and mighty when it's, you know.
Yeah.
Christ is risen. Fuck you, atheist. And
matter to them at all. It's hypocritical.
Yeah.
If you want to send in your answers to our 5 questions, you can send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
We've only got 2 left.
Oh my
god.
2 left.
So I'm saying in 2 more episodes of not having guests, drastic measures will be taken. The
hammer's gonna drop.
We're atheists. There's nothing stopping us morally from going out and taking answers from people.
Oh my god. Things in the GWG are gonna change forever.
We watched the 2014 Left Behind. It was terrible. It was worst of all boring, but at least it didn't have Kirk Cameron in it. If you've seen it, feel free to...
What the hell? I'm so...
I'm sorry.
Tell us how that happened to you. Who did that to you?
Who would show us on the doll where they made you watch Left Behind.
Yeah.
We're Geeks Without God, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
The fact that something was better with Kirk Cameron is proof there is no God.
We're geeks. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks,
we're geeks,
we're geeks without God.
We're geeks, geeks without God.
TIMNICKMOLLY
Geeks of God.
Geeks of God.
Geeks of God.
AON!